Mimi Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
The rate of temperature rise in the last half century is the highest in 2,000 years. Concentrations of carbon dioxide are at their highest in at least 2 million years. The climate time bomb is ticking.
The United Nations issues a final warning that the world is facing its last chance to prevent catastrophic global warming. We'll speak to leading climate activists in the United States and Mozambique about the IPCC report, the role of banks fueling the climate emergency, and Cyclone Freddy that's killed over 500 people in Malawi and Mozambique.
We are one of the countries without historical responsibility, but yet struggling with the impacts of the climate crisis and so many other multiple interrelated crises.
Then, as we continue to mark the 20th anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq, we look at how the U.S. mainstream media helped amplify the Bush administration's lies while silencing voices of dissent.
Pay no heed to the peaceniks and the left-wing rock stars. They've had their 15 minutes of fame.
These people are essentially useless. They are reflexively opposed to war. It's a principled position, but it's the wrong position, and you can't take them seriously as a strategic voice.
We expect every American to support our military, and if they can't do that, to shut up.
We'll speak to Norman Solomon, author of War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. His forthcoming book, War Made Invisible. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United Nations warns in a new report the world's on pace to blow past a critical global heating threshold by the early 2030s unless nations take immediate and dramatic steps to mitigate the climate catastrophe. The UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change said Monday the planet's on course to warm by an average of 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels within a decade, causing irreversible damage to human populations and ecosystems. The report warns of worsening heat waves, flooding, drought, rising sea levels, famine, mass extinction, and the spread of infectious diseases. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres announced the findings Monday, saying a livable future for all is still possible if nations take urgent action.
The 1.5 degree limit is achievable, but it will take a quantum leap in climate action. This report is a clarion call to massively fast-track climate efforts by every country and every sector and on every time frame. In short, our world needs climate action on all fronts, everything, everywhere, all at once.
Here in the United States, climate activists have organized a day of action today against key banks they say are fueling global heating. We'll have more on the IPCC report and today's protests after headlines. New research finds drought killed 43,000 people in Somalia last year, while leaving 5 million people with acute food shortages. Nearly 2 million children remain at risk of malnutrition. Humanitarian aid groups and climate scientists warn Somalia and other parts of the Horn of Africa face a sixth consecutive failed rainy season. And conditions this year are even worse than 2011. When famine killed an estimated 250,000 people in Somalia. Russia's defense ministry says it scrambled a fighter jet Monday to intercept a pair of U.S. Air Force B-52 bombers flying over the Baltic Sea. The Russian fighter reportedly returned to its base after the nuclear-capable U.S. bombers moved away from Russia's border. The incident came as Ukraine's defense ministry said it destroyed a train carrying cruise missiles bound for Russia's Black Sea fleet at a station in the Russian-annexed Crimean Peninsula. In Brussels, European Union ministers agreed Monday to provide Ukraine with 1 million artillery shells over the next year while replenishing their own stockpiles of ammunition. Meanwhile, the Biden administration approved a new $350 million military aid package for Ukraine. The U.S. State Department said Monday all sides committed war crimes and crimes against humanity during the recent conflict in northern Ethiopia. Secretary of State Antony Blinken announced the findings from Washington, D.C. Monday, just days after his return from Ethiopia's capital, Addis Ababa, where Blinken met with the Prime Minister, Abiy Ahmed, and representatives of the Tigray People's Liberation Front.
The conflict in northern Ethiopia was devastating. Men, women and children were killed. Women and girls were subject to horrific forms of sexual violence. Thousands were forcibly displaced from their homes. Entire communities were specifically targeted based on their ethnicity. Many of these actions were not random or a mere byproduct of war. They were calculated and deliberate.
Blinken stopped short of stating the Ethiopian government's atrocities in Tigray constituted genocide. In Kenya, police tear gassed a convoy carrying opposition leader Raila Odinga in the capital, Nairobi, Monday, as he led protests against President William Ruto's government and high inflation. A university student was reportedly shot dead at a demonstration in the city of Kisumu. They were some of the largest anti-government protests in Kenya since Odinga narrowly lost to Ruto last August. In South Africa, thousands of protesters marched in cities nationwide Monday, demanding President Cyril Ramaphosa resign over widespread unemployment and rolling blackouts. South Africa's National Police Agency said officers had arrested more than 550 protesters since Sunday. About half of all young people in South Africa are unemployed. Meanwhile, South Africa's public electric utility continues to impose rolling blackouts of up to 10 hours a day as demand for electricity exceeds supply. The French government narrowly survived a pair of no-confidence votes in Parliament Monday after President Emmanuel Macron rammed through an unpopular law by executive fiat, raising the retirement age from 62 to 64. The failure of the no-confidence votes sparked fresh protests across France, with police firing tear gas at demonstrators in Lille and Bordeaux, and protesters setting piles of uncollected trash on fire in central Paris. This is French Member of Parliament Mathilde Panot speaking just after Monday's vote.
Et vous l'aurez compris, les centaines de milliers de gens.
As you could have understood, the hundreds of thousands of people who are now gathering together every day in the entire country since last Thursday, and since Macron bypassed the assembly, will not stop just because this motion of no confidence has barely failed, just lacking nine little votes. Nothing has been fixed in the country, and the country continues to head towards a political crisis that Macron himself started.
Unions and French opposition parties have called a ninth nationwide day of strikes and protests Thursday. In Washington, D.C., a federal jury has found four members of the far-right Oath Keepers militia group guilty of felony and misdemeanor charges, including obstructing an official proceeding over their roles in the January 6th Capitol insurrection. The four face prison terms of up to 20 years. Their convictions on Monday came as federal prosecutors in a separate trial rested their case against former Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio and four other defendants who face charges of seditious conspiracy. Amazon's announced plans to lay off 9,000 more workers in the coming weeks. The layoffs build on 18,000 job cuts at Amazon that began in November and extended into January. U.S. high-tech firms have laid off more than 300,000 workers this year. In Los Angeles, tens of thousands of school custodians, cafeteria workers, bus drivers, and other school support staff have begun a three-day strike demanding dignified working conditions and living wages after nearly a year of negotiations with the Los Angeles Unified School District. Their union is calling for at least a 30% income increase as school staff only makes an average of $25,000 annually, or roughly $12 per hour. Tens of thousands of L.A. teachers have joined the strike in solidarity. And here in New York, dozens of community organizers, parents, teachers and students rallied at Bronx High School Monday protesting a military recruitment and job fair event hosted by New York Congress members Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Adriano Espaillat. The so-called Student Services Fair featured representatives of the U.S. Army, Navy, Air Force and Coast Guard. Advocates accused Ocasio-Cortez of backtracking on her anti-war campaign promises and policies opposing predatory military recruitment tactics that predominantly target Black, Brown, Latinx, and low-income students. In 2020, Ocasio-Cortez proposed a ban against military recruitment on Twitter, while she later pushed for a bill amendment that would have halted federal funding for military recruitment in middle and high schools. Richie Marino is an organizer with the Bronx Anti-War Coalition, speaking at Monday's rally at Renaissance High School, which took place on the 20th anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq.
A lot of youth here are struggling to find jobs. Many youth here are not prepared to go to college, right? Instead of bringing military recruiters here, we should be having a jobs fair. We should be having a college fair. Renaissance High School is an arts and theater school. Where are the arts and theater programs represented here, AOC? You're saying this is a student services fair. Where are the services for the youth?
Richie Marino was speaking with Democracy Now's Sanji Lopez. Organizers also demanded justice for Vanessa Guillen and Ana Basulio Ruiz, two Latina women who were killed after they reported being sexually assaulted at Fort Hood Army Base in Texas. Guillen in 2020, Ruiz last week, and 21-year-old Abdul Latifu, who was murdered in January by another soldier at Fort Rucker in Alabama. Latifu was from the Bronx. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United Nations has issued a final warning that the world is facing its last chance to prevent catastrophic global warming. The UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC, said Monday every additional increment of warming will amplify impacts already felt by millions worldwide, and called for an end to coal and net-zero electricity generation by 2035. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called the report a, quote, how-to guide to defuse the climate bomb.
The rate of temperature rise in the last half century is the highest in 2,000 years. Concentrations of carbon dioxide are at their highest in at least 2 million years. The climate time bomb is ticking.
The IPCC report comes as the death toll from Cyclone Freddy has topped 500 in Malawi. At least another 66 people have died in Mozambique. Over a half million people have been displaced in the southeastern African nations. Cyclone Freddy was one of the strongest storms ever recorded in the southern hemisphere and the longest-lasting tropical cyclone on record. As corporations and governments face growing pressure to address the climate crisis, President Joe Biden vetoed a Republican-backed bill Monday to reinstate a Trump-era ban on retirement plans using a sustainable investment practice known as ESG that takes into account environmental, social, and governance impacts. This comes as funding for fossil fuels remains much greater than for climate adaptation and mitigation. Our next guests are focusing on the four biggest banks in the U.S. that finance fossil fuel expansion: Bank of America, Chase, Citibank, and Wells Fargo. Bill McKibben is co-founder of 350.org, founder of the organization Third Act, which organizes people over 60 years old for progressive change. And today is its first national day of action to stop dirty banks, he'd say. Also with us in D.C., Ben Jealous, new executive director of the Sierra Club. He's the former president of the NAACP and People for the American Way. They co-authored a piece for The Guardian headlined, U.S. Banks Are Sacrificing Poor Communities to the Climate Crisis. Also with us, Dipti Bhatnagar. She is longtime climate justice activist based in Mozambique with Friends of the Earth International in Mozambique. We welcome you all to Democracy Now! Well, Bill McKibben, your group, Third Act, is organizing today's protests around the country. It is interesting to look at the banks you're focusing on, the largest banks in the United States, at this moment when many are fleeing smaller regional banks, thinking the only place their money is secure is at the big banks. What is your message?
Well, Amy, hello. And Third Act is organizing 102 demonstrations in 30 states and the District of Columbia today with the enormous help of the Sierra Club and others. The reason is that, as you point out, these four big banks are now bigger than ever. They're in some ways quasi-public banks. The reason that everybody's going to them is because they know that the taxpayer has taken on the risk associated with running a bank and will backstop them forever. Therefore, we need them to act responsibly in the face of the greatest crisis our species has ever wandered into. At the moment, they're doing just the opposite. These four big banks are also the four biggest lenders to the fossil fuel industry on planet Earth, even though, as you point out, the IPCC and every other set of climate scientists has long since said that expansion of the fossil fuel enterprise has to cease. We're not calling for an end to banking for oil and gas. We're going to have oil and gas for a few more years, and they'll need a bank. All we want, and it is a very moderate demand, is for them to cease funding the expansion of that industry, the way that HSBC, the largest bank in Europe, agreed to do in December.
And Ben Jealous, you were head of the NAACP, then People for the American Way. Now you're with the Sierra Club, and particularly looking right now at these protests that are talking about these big banks and their effect on communities of color. Can you respond to what has to happen at this point and what the Sierra Club is calling for?
Yeah, we are very clear that the banks need to stop funding this new projects to extract oil and gas. It's the biggest threat we have to all of the work that's going into trying to stop climate change. And what we saw with HSBC can be done here. The banks simply need to say to their clients, we'll continue to finance what you're currently doing, but we're not going to finance you at all if you keep expanding, because what you're doing is putting the people of this planet in grave risk.
What about the fact, I mean, the piece that you write with Bill McKibben in The Guardian, you say the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank will bring many forms of fallout. One of the most obvious consequences is that the biggest banks, the ones you're protesting today, Chase, Citi, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, will probably get even bigger.
Now, look, I mean, that's precisely right. And what we've seen, actually, is, look, there's probably a dozen banks in the U.S. that will not fund oil and gas expansion. There's at least a dozen, lots of them smaller banks, lots of them regional banks. And so what we've seen, actually, is people decide that this is, you know, a priority for them. And the big banks see those trends, too. And yet they feel beholden to an industry that is literally driving us towards human extinction. And so what we're asking these banks to do is to have the moral clarity to say to their clients, again, we're not going to stop financing you if you just do what you're currently doing. But if you keep expanding into the Arctic, if you keep expanding into the Gulf, if you keep drilling, you know, new drills in Africa and throughout the globe, then we're going to have to stop financing you because what you're doing is putting everything else at risk.
And Bill McKibben, you wrote this piece right before President Biden signed off on the Willow Arctic drilling project. You call it a climate turning point. Your response to what has happened with his green lighting of that project?
Well, this is a perfect example of what we're talking about. ConocoPhillips, which is developing that ill-begotten project up in the Arctic, has tens of billions of dollars of loans from the banks that we're talking about. They keep funneling them money so that they can do these kind of projects. And, I mean, that one is, I mean, just absolutely emblematic of the insanity. They're going to have to literally refreeze the ground up there before they're able to, the ground that they have melted, before they're able to drill again for yet more oil. But it's not just up in the Arctic. Look at what's happening in Africa. Cyclone Freddy blows across Malawi, leaving huge devastation, while Total, the French energy giant, and others are busy trying to build a giant oil pipeline across the heart of Africa. This is this is, as the IPCC said yesterday, this is really the battle for the future of planet Earth. If we cannot slow these guys down, and there's only two levers big enough to pull to really matter. One of those levers is marked government, and we've been tugging on it as hard as we can. And we've gotten at least something, the IRA and the climate bill last year. The other lever is marked money, finance. That's what we're pulling today all across the country. These four banks are, well, they're the capital in capitalism, so they're not going to be an easy target. But now that they're in this dominant role on our planet, we have to be able to make sure that they pay attention. And today, people will at least be paying attention. Here in D.C., for instance, the banks are going to be blockaded with people in rocking chairs, Amy. Older people are sitting down today, but they're also standing up in a way that they haven't before.
We're going to bring in Dipti Bhatnagar after break into this conversation. As you mentioned, Malawi, Madagascar, we're talking about massive cyclone and damage, deaths, lives lost. Bill McKibben is staying with us of 350.org and Third Act, organized today's Day of Action to Stop Dirty Banks. Ben Jealous, executive director of the Sierra Club. And coming up, Dipti Bhatnagar will join them. She's with Friends of the Earth International in Mozambique. Stay with us.
Quantas vezes Deus tem que vencer Satanás? Sempre que necessário vai cair na própria cova. Não cumprimos a ordem dele, nem que seja nova. Presidentes são assassinos e nós somos a prova. Aplaudidos em conferências, mas o povo os reprova. Chantageiam a saúde, não caímos no vosso truque. Quantas vidas vão vender para enriquecer o vosso clube? Continuamos em pé, a vossa imprensa que debulque. Não somos feitos de medo, somos feitos de atitude. Queima eles
com fogo da vossa paz, Senhor. Teu povo não aguenta mais, Senhor. Em troca de petróleo e gás, vendem o país.
Queima eles
com fogo da vossa paz, Senhor. Teu povo não aguenta mais, Senhor. Em troca de petróleo e gás.
Segundo verso, deixa-me explicar-vos uma coisa. Eu não paro de clamar, nem quero que o governo me ouça. Governo que se vende por uma frota de Mahindras. Vende o próprio povo para comprar quintas. O julgamento acabou, cada um com a sua sentença. Nós condenados a suportar a vossa presença. Vocês enriquecer com os lucros de uma doença. Vossa doença, vossa ganância é a vossa doença. Aliás,
Vendemos o País by Azagaya, the popular Mozambican rapper and cultural icon who died on March 9th. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Writer and actor, as we continue to look at the climate emergency, we turn to Southeast Africa, where Tropical Cyclone Freddy has killed over 500 people in Malawi and at least 66 people in Mozambique. Over 500,000 people have been displaced. Cyclone Freddy, one of the strongest storms ever recorded in the Southern Hemisphere and the longest-lasting tropical cyclone on record. It first made landfall in Madagascar on February 19th. We're joined by Dipti Bhatnagar, longtime climate justice activist based in Mozambique. She's with Friends of the Earth Mozambique. She lives in Mozambique but is now visiting the Bay Area. We are staying with Bill McKibben of Third Act and 350.org and Ben Jealous, who's now head of the Sierra Club. Dipti, talk about what's happened in your country, in your region, and how it relates to climate change.
Hi, Amy. Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me on. As you've already spoken about, Cyclone Freddy is yet another reminder that climate impacts are not in the future, but very much happening to our communities right now. Almost 1 million people have been affected in Mozambique and 1.6 million across the region. And, you know, this has come on top of what was already a cholera epidemic, what was already flooding happening in southern Mozambique, including affecting my own house in early February. The climate impacts were already happening. So when Cyclone Freddy hit for the first time around the 24th of February, and then it went back out again into the Mozambique Channel and then came back and hit again, You know, this is hitting land that is completely saturated, hitting people that are completely saturated without any kinds of reserves. So the climate impacts are happening right now to people, and it's not just one. It's happening over and over and over again. And climate change is supercharging these cyclones. They're being able to survive longer on land. They're being able to go out again into the ocean and come back in, which is what we saw with Cyclone Idai, the really destructive cyclone in 2019. And now we see this pattern again. This cyclone is one of the most supercharged cyclones. It's lasted the longest, and it has hit Mozambique already twice. And it is affecting people who are already living on the edge, Amy, who have really nothing more to be able to give. They're struggling to survive. And this is why what the IPCC report says about the urgency of the situation is absolutely critical. But we are seeing communities, people that have no historical responsibility for creating this crisis, and they're the ones that are being affected, while the rich countries just continue to undermine historical responsibility and equity while the climate negotiations and the IPCC negotiations are going on. And it's just absolutely heartbreaking to see what is happening on the ground.
If you can talk about this report that has just come out today, the IPCC report, and the significance of what they're saying has to happen right now, Dipti.
So the IPCC science is very, very clear in talking about this rapidly closing window of opportunity. That is something that we need to take heed. As Bill was talking about, we're seeing expansion of fossil fuels, not just in the Arctic, in Alaska with the Willow Project, absolutely shocking, but also in Mozambique, one of the countries most affected by the climate crisis, is also where one of the largest gas fields that has been found anywhere in the world in the last 10 years has been found, and Total and others are going ahead with it. And the Mozambican government is also complicit. So we need to be stopping dirty energy everywhere in the world. And my group, which is Justice Ambiental, I'm actually on sabbatical from Friends of the Earth International. I'm representing Justice Ambiental, Friends of the Earth Mozambique. And my group has been fighting against oil and gas in northern Mozambique since 2007, working in the province of Cabo Delgado, where fossil fuels are not only causing climate change, but they're displacing communities, they're causing human rights violations, they're triggering conflict and militarization and insurgencies all across the continent, including in Mozambique. So this is what we need to be fighting against. And the IPCC definitely talks about the need for emissions reductions. But one of the things that's really scary, Amy, is that this whole notion of carbon dioxide removals is playing such a key role now in the IPCC report. And this is really problematic because this is opening the door to false climate solutions, false solutions. This is not the way to go. And what this is going to do is, they're talking about overshoot. The word overshoot appears 23 times in the summary for policymakers in the IPCC report that's released today. And what they're trying to say is, oh, don't worry, you know, we could cross 1.5 degrees Celsius average global temperature rise, but we'll bring it back down. We might have an overshoot. We'll bring it back down with carbon dioxide removal. And this is really dangerous because how are they going to do the removal? Why are they doing the removal? Because they do not want to stop fossil fuels. They want to continue business as usual. The elites want to continue to gain in the ways that they're doing. And what they're going to do and what they're already doing is grab lands and forests from communities in the global south, including in Mozambique, to be able to offset these emissions. And it's going to create another crisis on top of the fossil fuel crisis that we're seeing in Africa and the climate impacts that we're already seeing. So we need to be so wary and push against these carbon dioxide removal and these false solutions. And we say, stop emissions at source, count consumption emissions, deal with historical responsibility, finance for communities. This is how we will be able to deal with the climate crisis and stop people suffering.
I wanted to bring Bill McKibben in on the United Nations issuing its final warning that the world is facing its last chance to prevent catastrophic global warming. The UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC, that Dipti is referring to, said Monday, every increment of warming will amplify impacts already felt by millions worldwide. Talk about what stood out most for you in today's report.
What stood out most for me was the fact that in some ways there's nothing new there. Look, Amy, I wrote the first book about all of this back in 1989, and there really isn't anything that we know now of great importance that we didn't know then. That means that if you're reading that report and you're feeling desperate about it, really the only thing that makes a difference at this point is to get up and say something, to act. That's why people will be out in the streets today, and some of it will be fun. You know, we've got orcas eating credit cards in Seattle and